Recovery Radio, KMP3, 1000 Oaks.
Yes. You are listening. Podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I will be your host. You can email me at sarcasticbigbook@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram. Book. As always, so glad you're here with me right now. So grateful. So grateful I have no desire to drink today. Well, lots of exciting stuff to get to today. I got a cup here filled with French roast coffee from Trader Joe's. I gotta tell you, it is delicious. I did not put cinnamon in it today. And it's just scratching me where I itch. It's just really takes me home. I'm going to pound it. I'm going to pound it, man. Does anybody have a funnel? I used to hang out with a guy who, I've shared about him, I'm sure. Just drank everything out of an enormous funnel. Margaritas. Whiskey. Rum. 8 beers. He went to, there's a store in Oregon, I'm sure it's other places too, called Fred Meyer. We don't have that where I live, but I remember we went to Fred Meyer. We were up in Oregon on a run, and I remember a bunch of us running into Fred Meyer to get the biggest funnel to make this bong the size of a 70s lamp. And we just put a lot of things in that funnel. It was good times. Anyways, point is, I'm drinking coffee now and I need a funnel like that because it's just so good. Can't stand it. Yeah. So the new book is done. It's out. It's probably live on Amazon by the time you're hearing this, but it's called The First Two Columns of a Four-Step, 365 Daily Affirmations That Won't Help You One Bit. And it's funny. I explained it a little bit in the introduction to the book, but it's nothing to be taken seriously. It's nothing to really read into. It's nothing much, except it's you know, when we do the four step, talked about it on here before, but the first two columns they're I'm not going to get into it now, but they're kind of a trick. You're definitely not taking your inventory yet. So in and of themselves, they don't help. I don't think. They only help as in they are a road to getting to something that really does help, but it's just funny to see them all on their own. It's just, you know, the font's all pretty for the date and, you know, as if it's something, you know, good for the soul. You know, it's just funny. And I think when I see it, I just think of the ridiculousness of resentments. And it's made up. It's made up stuff. Originally, it was going to be my fourth step, but I didn't want there to be any confusion about that. I put a couple posts on Instagram about it. And people were like, you know, treating it as if it was my inventory. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to remove that anxiety from it for people. It's not mine. Just it's comedy. So that's exciting. It's exciting to me. The support of this podcast means a lot to me. It's growing. The support of all of it growing means a lot. It's all God. And I wanted to say also, and it says it on the newest book, but the name I use for the books, Clay F, it means clay feet. It means feet of clay. It means without God, I'm nothing. And I had never heard that before until the man who really showed me the message in the big book that I have today that set me free, changed my life when I was 2.5 years sober. He used to, when he would write to Alcoholics Anonymous, he would sign his letters, Feet of Clay. So it's really also an ode to that man, the most influential man in my life. His name was Mike. Boy, he was something else. He was something else. When you meet somebody who is living the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, not the way you commonly see, but living it, living the pages of that book, it is powerful. When you see somebody who is coming from love all the time, seemingly, often, usually. I mean, I studied him. I've shared about it. I studied him for a couple of years before he passed away. I just studied him. It was fascinating to watch him interact with people and hear his conversations. And it was just, I'd never seen anybody like him. I'd never been anybody like him. The look in his eyes the last time I saw him, he knew he was dying. And I've shared about it on here, but there was this big gathering. Everybody kind of knew he was about to die. He had inoperable cancer. And they tried to, he was from Manhattan, so they tried to put together like a roast, you know, for him. And everybody loved him so much. Nobody could even fake say something bad about him. It was just really hard for people. And anyways, that night, at the end of the night, he could hardly speak, and he was just glowing with peace. And there was a big long line at the end of the night. Everybody was going up to him and shaking his hand and hugging him goodbye. And you know, I looked at him and I just didn't have the words to thank him, you know, and I just said, thank you. I said, thank you so much. I don't even know what to say to you. And he, I'll never forget, he was just shaking my hand so, you know, and he just stared at me and he said, I love you so much. And the look in his eyes was the first time in my life I ever thought to myself, there's a heaven. To explain what I saw automatically belittles what I saw. But when you meet somebody who doesn't have any holes in their game, when they are actually the promises of the book incarnate, living, you don't forget that. It changes you. It raises your standard, and it changes everything about your program, how you think. You know, that's what I wanted to talk about today, is who is that example for you? Do you have an example like that? Do you try to be that example for someone else? All these things are important to me. It's so important. I really understand why a lot of people don't like Alcoholics Anonymous. I really understand it. Because Alcoholics Anonymous is, like I've shared on here, it's so beautiful that everything's in it. There's hypocrisy. There are predators. Everything's in it. So it can look gross. I mean, there's a lot of saying one thing and doing another. Saying one thing and doing another. There's a lot of that. So when you're new and you come to AA, and it's very easy to get disillusioned. But one one powerful example and influence can erase a lot of bad ones for me. When I met Mike, it just erased so much negativity. Because it was just, I was looking at something real. All the standard things that you think about when you think about somebody working a good program, he wasn't these things. He was more than that. So many times I've been disillusioned. Somebody talking about God and then talking about living this stuff and then, you know, but they insult their spouse behind their spouse's back, and etc. I could go on and on and on and on and on, but those things are significant. They matter. They go into one's soul and psyche and heart and mentality, and lowers the standard, I believe. But I'm a proponent of social learning theory, so I believe that, and I've seen it in myself. When everything affects me, everything. But Mike wasn't like that. He was something else, and he was real clear on the feet of clay thing. He was real clear on that. He wasn't glorifying himself. He wasn't making it about himself. He wasn't confident in himself. He was confident about God. He was glorifying God. He was making it about God. He was so out of self that he was like air in a way. Where you start breathing it in and then you don't even notice and then he's gone and you're like, wow. That was a lot of oxygen he was giving me. That example, that God, the power of God. So it was intense and it changed my life. And I only met him in person. I didn't spend that much time with him. But so influential. The most influential person in my life, still. And he died in 93, I want to say. But it really wasn't about him, it was about God. He was the best example of the third step in action that I've ever seen in my life. Still, to this day. So, I'm talking about this because that's so central to why I wound up having the experience that I had and am having now. And until that happened, I was having a different experience. My sponsor, for example, he taught me a lot. God put him in my life to save it. No doubt about it. I could never repay that man for everything he did for me and helped me with. However, it was very different than Mike. Mike was something else. So I try to be that. I try to be that for someone. Having learned how crucial that can be in someone's life. And having a deep and growing all the time sense that that's my responsibility. And that it's all God as I understand God. So hopefully you have lights like that. Real lights in your life like that, in your recovery. Hopefully there's people like that, someone like that. You only need one, for God's sakes. But, and if you don't have it, you know, I don't know. I try to be that. So. And this isn't about like somebody being perfect. Just I can hear it almost. I can hear the reaction to this from some, because I've talked about this so many times. The reaction. Well, you know, and then an argument to lower the standard comes out. Some sentence in favor of not setting the bar that high. Mike wasn't perfect. He's a human being. I'm sure he had all kinds of selfishness. I'm sure he... But he was an example of being able to achieve perfect adherence to these principles. Nobody could maintain them, but he was definitely an example of somebody who could achieve it. I never met somebody who had the bar set so high. In not an unhealthy perfectionism way. No, quite the opposite. Boy, when you're out of self, the light is bright from God. It's something. Anyways, I'm gonna go run now. I got an interview with Beach Bod Weekly. And I'm going to be on the front page holding up holding up a tow truck with one arm while I'm drinking a virgin pina colada out of a funnel. So I gotta go. I can't sit here with you anymore. Can't do it. Sorry, my coffee's gone. I pounded it like an alcoholic. And now I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go. Shout out to my friends at Happy Joyous and Three. Shout out to my friends at the Black Rhinos. And I will say it to anyone who needs to hear it. Maybe you need to hear it. Everything's okay. And I am going to go try to live a life that was worth saving. And I hope you'll do the same.